Well, I thought I'd start by saying happy birthday to Pete Townsend of The Who. He's 80 today. Here's a few hits he's responsible for. Old today from The Who. Tickets just went on sale for The Who's farewell tour. Has a couple of stops in Toronto. And they just fired their drummer, Zach Starkey, for the second time in 2 months. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I always remember hearing that famous quote from Pete Townsend when Keith Moon passed out during a show in Oakland in 1973. This happened. Can you believe it? Pete Townsend asking, can anyone play the drums? Yes, Moon had passed out in the 70s. Ah, yes. Maybe the guy or the drummer who just got fired from the Foo Fighters. I don't know. But The Who tour also announcing that Tom Cochrane's going to be the opening act at the Canadian dates if you're headed to Toronto to see them. But hey, here we are. It's a short work week, Tuesday morning. How'd you enjoy the unofficial start of summer, that May-long weekend? Oh, felt like a lousy fall weekend instead. Now, Saturday might have been the best day, but it was still pretty cool and windy. I'm sure the garden centers were busy, but at least the sun was out. From there, it kind of went downhill, right? It was a good day Saturday. We were out of Pasqua Lake to get the dock in. Got that done. Sunday, the lake was far too windy, even colder, so glad we got it done when we did. But as we were driving into Fort Capel, towards Pasqua there, down the valley, looked over the campgrounds. It wasn't that busy. I think I counted two campsites that actually had campers in them as I was coming down the hill there, but could not smell any campfires burning. I did smell some Leaf fans burning their jerseys after Sunday's game. I'm going to get to the Stanley Cup in a moment, but I did not see the Leafs folding as badly as they did in Game 7. But here we are. We're back to work, back to school, short work week. Could be an extra short work week for Canada Post workers. The union, repping 55,000 of them, says they plan to walk off the job Friday. Their last strike before Christmas lasted 32 days. And with Christmas, they seem to have more leverage, but maybe now not so much. So who knows how long this one could go on for if they don't strike up a deal. And this is the week the Cathedral Village Arts Festival is back. And there's something every day. You can check out their website tonight. The Saskatchewan Book Awards are happening at the Artesian tonight. And the South Saskatchewan Youth Orchestra is going to give a show on over at the Westminster United Church. But, of course, the Beer Gardens, the Outdoor Festival coming Thursday through the upcoming weekend will draw the largest crowds. But that's always fun to check out the Cathedral Village Arts Festival. Back this week. And then there was one. There were three clubs in the NHL playoff run, but we're down to one after the Jets fell short Saturday night against the Dallas Stars. On quite the emotional day, too, when Mark Scheifele chose to play just hours after learning his father had passed. He played, saying his dad would have wanted that to happen, and his mom encouraging him to do the same in his dad's memory as well. And once the puck dropped, the game was end-to-end. That was a tight-checking game Saturday night. Scheifele even opening up the scoring.
Penalty upcoming. A high stick will be called on Leon Bischel. Firing towards the net. Rebound. Scores! Scheifele! Playing with the heaviest of hearts! Scores the road opening goal for the Winnipeg Jets!
Meh. That was pretty cool. But the Stars would tie it. And near the end of the third period, poor Scheifele, he would take a penalty that would bleed over into the start of overtime. And with fans hoping at least to kill the penalty off, maybe have him leave the penalty box, score the game-winning goal in overtime. It was just not meant to be.
Circling that stake to Harley. Series over.
Stars eliminating the Jets with a 2-1 overtime victory. And how touching was that to see Jets captain Adam Lowry be the first to come console Scheifele in the penalty box, who couldn't even stand up. He was 8 seconds from getting out of that penalty box when Dallas scored that final blow. And Lowry was asked about that moment after the game.
It's just, just an awful day for him. That you want to give him the strength. You want to get that kill so bad. We just couldn't do it.
Pretty tough loss Saturday night. Then came Sunday. Game 7 for Leaf fans at home to the defending Stanley Cup champions. It was not pretty.
And the defending Stanley Cup champions move on to the Eastern Conference Final. And the song remains the same here in Toronto.
Oh, does it ever. The final 6-1. And that insult, it was Brad Marchand finishing the Leafs off with an empty netter for their Panthers. 6-1, the same score as Game 5. I don't know what happened that first period. They were in it. Then it just unraveled in the second. Fans had begun to leave early in the third. And after the final buzzer and the handshakes were over, the Leafs gathered at center ice for one last season salute to the fans who remained, but it was not even well received.
More boos from the home crowd here in Toronto. As the Maple Leafs remain on the ice to salute the crowd.
Oh, that must have hurt. The Leafs did it again, teasing their fans, only to rip their hearts out. And Captain Austin Matthews, who had only 2 shots in Game 7, called out his teammates after the game.
Felt like we were ready to play. Felt like we were, you know, in a good mindset. And like I said, I thought the first, you know, 10 minutes we didn't, you know, they came out strong. And the next 10 minutes I thought we controlled play. You know, and then I just thought we had too many passengers throughout the rest of the game and just weren't on the same page.
Yeah, he might have been a passenger too. But it's over. Canadian rapper Drake placed a $1 million bet the Leafs would beat the Panthers. He lost. Blame him. Blame Justin Bieber and his wife. They were sitting there behind the bench. Maybe it's their fault. Anyhow, the Eastern Conference Final is set now for the second time in 3 years. The Panthers and Hurricanes meet for a spot in the Stanley Cup, and Game 1 begins tonight, so a short turnaround for Florida. And the Western Conference opens tomorrow night, of course, with the Oilers in Dallas. Connor McDavid says, yeah, the Stars again, but we're feeling confident ahead of this matchup too.
Yeah, you know, as good as Dallas is, we're a good team too. You know, and we've beaten two really good teams in L.A. and Vegas. And as you said, our 5-on-5 game's been really, really good. Specialty teams will need to get going here. Power play starts with the power play, obviously. Power play's got to find a way to be a factor in the series, and we will.
They will. Still standing by my prediction. I'm standing by my prediction. The Oilers will meet the Panthers in the Stanley Cup. Oil, I think, are going to finish off the Stars in 6. They're going to finish the Panthers off in the Cup in 6. And finally, I'll be able to celebrate and move on. But I feel bad for the Jets fans, Leaf fans. It's kind of frustrating. I kind of was hoping the Jets and Oilers would meet this next round. That would have been cool. But we're also the Leafs and the Oilers, but it's just not meant to be. All right, the Rider training camp continues in Saskatoon. Lots of fans seem pretty impressed with Coach Mace and are optimistic at the green and white game on the weekend.
I really like Mace. I feel like he's a good leader. He's very positive.
The bar has been raised, and now we have more expectation than doubt.
Absolutely. It's there for the taking.
We're going to get it. We're going to win it.
Harris, I think, is solid as long as he stays healthy.
Well, I'd like to see a first place finish.
You anticipate a great cup.
Oh, I'm going to say we're going all the way.
I'm going to say West final.
There you go. Rider fans at the Green and White game on the weekend. We were there too, of course, and we'll bring you much more on Rider training camp throughout the morning here, including how the club is working towards their first preseason game this Saturday in Winnipeg against the Bombers. Well, that was a pretty lousy long weekend when it comes to the weather, at least, anyhow. It kind of just tampered with everyone's plans. that you may have had in the backyard. At least we got the dock in on Saturday out of Pasqua Lake. It was sunny and not quite as windy and cold as it got on Saturday. Well, Sunday got cold, but Saturday was a better day. But hopefully had a good weekend and accomplished a few things. The rest of the weekend for me was just kind of loungy, watching a little hockey, putts in here and there. Nowhere near as busy as I probably would have been had it been a lot warmer. And this morning, out of the farm, it might be either a sense of accomplishment being done seeding or else having been stalled because of the moisture. But hopefully it's going well on the farm here for you this morning. I know many of you Leaf fans are disappointed. Dwayne just texted me, said, you know, he's going to cheer for the Oilers now. He's disappointed in the Leafs. Oh, Sean and Weyburn just said, Murray not cheering for the Oilers? What? Yeah, I agree. It's pretty pathetic. I don't know if you were watching the Jets game, which was sad because of the whole Scheifele storyline. It was sad the Jets lost, but it was during Saturday night's game, in the between periods, I was hopping on social media, and that's when I started seeing the video, and maybe you did too, of that Mexican training ship crashing into the Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday night. It was everywhere on social media. A lot of people recording cell phone video of it happening almost immediately as they recorded it. It was being shared. You can hear this one guy watching the ship come right out.
Holy crap.
It was awful. Two people actually died after falling from its masts, and 19 others were injured. The ship was on a global goodwill tour and en route to Iceland at the time of the incident, and the investigation is underway right now. And having killed two sailors, injuring others, you hear the witnesses to the crash and the NYPD police chief describing what they knew.
Like, we saw clearly that the mast was too high, and we saw people, unfortunately, dangling. There were people on the mast. Like, there were people, like, all standing on the mast. They were, like, holding lights. Obviously, when the mast got hit, there were people dangling, and I think, you know, at least one or two people we saw, like, fall down.
The captain that was maneuvering the ship lost, power of the ship and the current mechanical function caused the ship to go right into the pillar of the bridge, hitting the mast of the ship where there was a couple of sailors on top of it. These sailors were injured as a result of the mast striking the bridge.
Yeah, and the bridge is structurally sound. It was not damaged, but it's just horrifying to watch. And what I couldn't believe is how many people record this as the ship is coming towards them and growing closer and closer to them, yet they don't want to run. I'd be running out of the way because it did crash into the seawall there, too, where people were standing as well. But that video was pretty horrifying to watch. The one video that I could not stop watching because of what happened was the Preakness horse race on Saturday. There's the Triple Crown, right? Starts with the Kentucky Derby, and then the Preakness was held. And the more I watch the replay, the more I'm convinced this is one of the greatest horse races I have ever witnessed. Journalism is the horse that was the favorite. It gets mauled in the home stretch, on the last home stretch on its way home. It gets sandwiched in an awkward position between two other horses, and you think, it's out. There's no way it's going to power through. But it does. Finishes like a champ. This stretch call gives me chills.
He's behind a wall of horses. He's looking for a place to go, and he's got nowhere to go. Oh, he bumped hard. Bumped hard with Goal Oriented. In the meanwhile, Gosker's running the race of his life, and Sandman has entered the scene, and he has moved up on the far outside. Journalism is still running on. He's back into second. He might even win it. Here's the wire. Oh, my goodness. Journalism has won the Stakes in a performance like you read about.
That is 30 seconds of home stretch that I challenge you to Google and not rewatch a second time because you can't believe what you're seeing. That horse looks so out of it. And then the way it just pours it on in the final, that was an incredible race for sure.
Song is about you. You're so vain. I bet you think.
Here we go. Start of a brand new work week. It's a short one for many. Tuesday morning, the Cathedral Village Arts Festival has begun. Of course, it gets a lot more fun as more events take place Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. A huge outdoor event. Hoping the weather gets a lot better than it was for May long weekend. That was a bust, wasn't it? Kind of just got so cold Sunday. Saturday evening into Sunday morning, it felt like fall. President Trump spent 2 hours on the phone apparently yesterday with Vladimir Putin, hoping to learn when the Russian leader was going to end this war in Ukraine. However, no timeline was offered. Afterward, Trump posted on social media that they had the two sides had agreed to immediately start negotiations toward a ceasefire, although a Kremlin spokesperson said Trump and Putin did not discuss a time frame of a possible truce. So really, who knows what's going on there? Incidentally, former President Joe Biden diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer, and they shared that news on Sunday. And Biden is 82. He was evaluated earlier this month after doctors found a prostate nodule during a recent exam, and his cancer has spread to the bone, but it's hormone sensitive, which doctors say typically makes it easier to treat. And to no one's surprise, President Trump reacted with a false fact that made it more about him when he was asked for a comment about Biden at the Oval Office yesterday.
I think it's very sad, actually. I'm surprised that it wasn't, you know, the public wasn't notified a long time ago, because to get to stage nine, that's a long time. I just had my physical. You saw that. You saw the results of that particular test. I think that test is standard to pretty much anybody getting a physical.
Not sure where that was going, but anyhow, Trump claiming that Joe Biden has stage 9 prostate cancer. Let's be clear. There's only stage 4. There's no such thing as stage 9 cancer. It doesn't exist in medical science. He made it up. Prostate cancer is measured stage 1 through 4 based on how far the cancer is spread. There's also something called the Gleason score. 6 to 10 rates how aggressive the cancer cells look, but there's no stage 9 cancer. And also this weekend, it was crazy with Trump, right? He went after Taylor Swift, suggesting she's a has-been in one post on social media. And then he went after Bruce Springsteen, too, because the boss is on tour and was speaking out against Trump.
What does President Trump mean when he says that Taylor Swift is no longer hot?
Look, he is speaking about Taylor Swift's political views and how perhaps it has impacted the support of the American public for her work. And I will leave it at that.
That was a question that had to be addressed yesterday in the White House. All of this plays out, too. I don't know if you've heard Trump. He wants to have a U.S. Army parade that would cost up to $45 million, involve 6,600 soldiers, and bill it as a celebration of the U.S. Army's 250th anniversary, which just happens to be falling on Trump's 79th birthday. This would happen in Washington. I think it would be funny if Trump goes ahead with his big military parade. June 14th, it would be in Washington. But then both Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen, if they banded together to give a free concert nearby, that would be funny, I think. Coming up next half hour, I'm taking you out to Indian Head with me, because not even an hour's drive on the number one east, we'll find the Grand Theater that's been there since 1904, they tell me, and still being used. But they need a little help restoring it, and wanted to share that story with you after the 6:30 news. It's 6:28.